Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 10th of June, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, before I start, I should mention in a most unusual, unprecedented, in fact, development for Fuller Money and its parent company, StockCube Research Limited. Our internet services have been down, really, since relatively early this morning. We think due to a power storm and some lightning that knocked out our service provider's equipment to the extent that we, as I say, we've just been without the internet here all day. So it's been immensely frustrating in terms of what we could actually produce. And I'm actually recording this audio not being 100% sure whether I'll be able to upload it this evening or not, but I'll carry on. Now, this is Friday, so this is the big picture long-term outlook, and therefore let's start with a quick review of the week. And in terms of stock markets, it's been fairly grim. We have seen further weakness pretty well across the boards. The main holdout sector has been the ASEAN markets, not least Indonesia and Malaysia. But those rallies have stalled, and we're seeing some weakening in that area, not least in Thailand recently. But it's still a relative performance outperformer. Now, elsewhere, though, we've seen some sharp deterioration. India is mostly ranged, but it had already seen a significant correction from the November highs. China has been fairly weak across the week, and that's dragged down the Hang Seng and the HSCEI indices. When I said China, I meant the A shares. But I'll also mention the B shares, which have been hit hard this week. They had been very strong performers up until a few weeks ago. And South Korea, which had been an outperformer, was hit fairly hard in here today, clear downward dynamic. So this is spreading, and with the UK market, the FTSE 100 index, that's broke below the 5800 level today, and also below its 200-day moving average. The European stock markets were hit fairly hard in here today. Declines all over 1%, and getting up to 1.9% for the French CAC 40 index. The Brazilian market down 1.22. Wall Street down between 1.4 and 1.5%. That's 18 off the S&P, bringing it down to 1271. U.S. dollar firmer against that background. Government bond prices definitely stronger, but the longer dateds pulled back from their highs on the day, but still up on the day. And precious metals caught a bit of the selling. Gold at 1531.30, and it had been down to 1526. Silver is down $1.25. That's at 36.20. The industrial metals were all lower here today. Copper back to 404. And what were the holdouts to the up? Well, no, first let me mention crude oil. Interesting. There's an announcement about Saudi Arabia said it's going to go ahead and increase production, but rather strangely, that hit the WTI price, which is back to 99.12. It's down $2.8 as I speak, but the Brent price is only down $1 to 18 and a half, so that's still quite high. The wheat price was firm, the corn price up a fraction. Sugar was steady. Most of the other commodities, soft commodities, were a little bit easier. Okay. So what's going on here overall in terms of the big picture outlook? Well, we've definitely seen some technical deterioration here overall, and stock markets are now pricing in more of the risk that we've certainly known about, but with the help of QE2 and just the general liquidity sloshing around in the system, that markets were able to shrug off for quite some time. Known risks such as the generally weak growth in the West, but more importantly, Germany accepted. More importantly, the problems in the banking sector in Europe and with the peripheral country debt and also some property debt, and then the United States with the ongoing mortgage fiasco there. So these are problems that have been known for a very long time. It's not that something brand new has surfaced, but the difference is that markets were shrugging it off, and fed by the liquidity and at a general optimism. And as you know, depending on which sector of the globe we were looking at, with the Asian leaders, they became very overextended, including India, including the ASEAN sector, back last November, and then pulled back to see mean reversions. And India went beyond a mean reversion. I'm talking about mean reversion to the rising 200-day moving average, which approximate a medium-term trend. And China has underperformed, been quite weak over the last 6 to 8 weeks, although still range bound overall. But concerns over the inflation and monetary tightening that has taken place there, not least in terms of higher reserve requirements for banks, which is a good thing in the long term, but it hasn't done the stock market any favors in the short term. Now, how's it all going to play out? Well, for a number of weeks, we've been saying, and in these audios, Owen and I, that we were in a corrective phase. And the best case scenario in the corrective phase was that we would get ranging to the 200-day moving averages. That's what the ASEAN stock market sector has largely seen, and that's what we had largely seen, and for Wall Street and also Germany, being by far the strongest economy, by far the strongest economy. In Western Europe. But what's been a concern that I've mentioned on a number of times, not least this week, is that very often these mean reversion corrections end with a capitulation phase where people just get discouraged and chuck in some of their stock market positions. Now, we do now see some evidence of that capitulation selling coming into the market. That is also creating a short-term oversold condition, but of course the market can go on and become more oversold. And I don't yet see any evidence that this decline is over. But an important point I do want to review is that having said a few moments ago that the problems that I had mentioned, the banking problems largely involving debt, whether it's property debt or sovereign. Sovereign debt from the peripheral Euroland economies, U.S. government debt. And these are known stories. It's just that they're now being reflected by stock market. So risk is being priced in, and that is improving valuation somewhat, even if you allow for the slower GDP growth, which we are certainly seeing as a consequence of the spike in crude oil prices and a number of other commodities. So that's pretty much the background here overall. And a lot of people say, well, where's the support level? You know, where's the next support level? And you know, you can look at a chart and take something like the S&P, which pretty much everybody has a look at fairly regularly. You've probably got a mental picture of it yourself if you're if you look at the charts actively. And you know, it had a few reaction lows in its range at around the 1300 level. So you don't need to be a psychiatrist or psychologist to know that when the 1300 level goes, that will cause a little bit more deterioration in sentiment, and then people will say, "Well, what was the next big reaction low?" And I think in March, I think it was March, but we had a low down at 1250. So then people start looking at those levels. But the point I want to emphasize here is that with charts, people are very heavily focused, particularly some of the less expensive. Less some of the less experienced participants. All right, it's been a frustrating day here and a somewhat tricky week. So I'm mispronouncing a few Freudian slips coming into the audio. But my point is, my premise is that people focus on saying, what's the support level? What's the next support level? Will this be a support level? Well, first, when a market's retreating, and these stock markets are mostly in short-term downtrends right now, the hallmark of a weak market, the hallmark of a weak market is that it goes through potential support levels. And whenever I look at a chart, and whether I'm discussing this, say when I used to give the TCS course myself, when I'm discussing it with Owen or anyone else, I talk about potential support levels, psychological points where investors might expect to see some, at least some temporary steadying. But that's all they are, really, they're sort of psychological levels. And the hallmark, again, of a weak market is that it tends to cut through those potential support levels relatively easily. And it'll go on doing that until you eventually get a climactic capitulation phase, and then you get a significant recovery, possibly preceded by some churning, volatile base activity. Conversely, the hallmark of a strong market coming up off lows, and you saw plenty of that in from 2Q 2009 through 2010, interrupted by that April correction and April to through August correction in 2010. But the hallmark of a strong market, strong uptrend, is that it pushes. At first, it'll be consistent, as will the downward trend. But the strong market, that strong, consistent uptrend, will push through potential resistance levels relatively easily. Now, right now, we're cutting under some support levels, including 200-day moving averages and also some previous lows. I described most stock markets as showing short-term downtrends, and characterized by lower rally, highs, and we're now seeing some lower lows in there as well. So this is certainly a fully fledged medium-term correction for most of the world's stock markets, and I wouldn't count on the holdouts to ignore this general trend. In other words, they may get sucked in as well. That's pricing in the risk, as I put it, and will lead to the next buying opportunity. When will that be? Well, that's really pure guesswork. I don't think that this short-term oversold condition that I described can produce more than a temporary technical rally at this stage. I think it'll probably have to go lower before we get something more significant. But a point I mentioned, particularly in yesterday's audio, I mentioned previously, but particularly in yesterday's audio, is that as markets come off, sentiment will deteriorate, and people will extrapolate the downward trend. And deteriorating sentiment is a precondition to bottoming out activity. In other words, the more you just ask yourself what was sentiment like at the historic lows for most markets? We can say that whether it's the occasional bear market low or whether it's just a big correction low. And for instance, the last big correction that we saw was that April 2010 through August 2010 level, and sentiment was horrendous. You can go back and check that in the archives, and we posted some of the sentiment readings. That's always a contrary indicator. Well, we're getting a bit of a repeat of that. The trouble is, though, we then go on and say, well, whether we get a similar size and length of correction to 2010, obviously it's not going to be an identikit replay, or very unlikely to be. Some of the corrections will be bigger, some of them will be smaller. You know what happened thereafter. Markets took off on a big run to the upside. That was greatly helped by QE2. And we can't count on a QE3. A lot of people think that will happen at some stage, but it's not etched in granite that will actually happen. So really, I think we probably won't get a real all clear and a healthy environment until we see commodities pull back enough and economic activity has slowed enough. I think for most countries, this will be a slowdown in the rate of growth. Certainly, that will be the case with the ASEAN countries, probably all the commodity producing countries. But some of the Western economies will flirt with recession. And I don't mean that frivolously, but they may get close to recession, including the UK, where GDP growth has been very, very slow. The economic recovery has been very, very sluggish overall. And then you get the peripheral European economies from Ireland to Greece and Portugal, and they're in deep deflationary recession. So quite a spread of outlooks overall. But my point I wanted to make is that it isn't until central banks feel that they've done enough on inflation, or that where they have tightened monetary conditions, or that inflation is a diminishing threat in other economies, that and where central banks, particularly in the growth economies, may be tempted to stimulate a little bit. that we'll probably get an all-clear signal on the stock markets and the next really good bullish phase. When will that be? Well, my hope is that we get that in the fourth quarter of this year, but that's just a hope. It remains to be seen. I kind of take this one day or one week at a time in here right now. So my feeling is that this is for many markets an approximation of what we saw in that April to through August 2010 period. And there's a risk that it could be worse. I've mentioned this before. There's a risk that it will qualify statistically as a modest bear market. Why not a great big whopping bear market? Well, I could talk for ages on this, but I'm conscious of the time and the length of the audio. But first, have a look at the yield curve chart for the U.S. economy that's in the library, and just type curve into the library search facility, and then look at that on a long-term chart. Look at it on a 20-year chart, and really, you tend to get the real bear markets when that yield curve turn inverts, goes below negative, and it's quite steep still at this stage. And we haven't had a monetary crunch in here overall. I just think we had too much excess liquidity sloshing around. Some of that's been pulled out of the system. We had overextensions, a little bit too much optimism on the upside, a general consensus that equities were the best game in the town, along with commodities, and they were for a while. And then commodities upset the apple cart, as it were, by going too high and causing a fair amount of commodity price inflation, not least regarding that Brent price for crude oil. That's the problem that we have, and it takes time to sort this out. So the stock market is likely to price in a little bit more risk. If you're not some new subscribers or less experienced subscribers may be less familiar with that type of terminology, but it means that that means that the market's reflecting the bad news. I don't think that's the case for the bond markets, because bond yields have been falling for the better part of 8 weeks in here right now, to my chagrin, because I've got a moderate-sized U.S. Treasury short position there. Apparently in good company with Bill Gross, although that's no comfort to him or to me. I just think that this is a case where these bond yields are discounting, I feel, at these levels, an extreme disinflationary, deflationary scenario that is unlikely to actually be the case. And the ECB thinks that inflation risks are to the upside. If you kind of read between the lines of some of the Fed governor's comments, you can get a similar message. Not wage inflation, certainly not in the USA. Or in Europe, really outside of Germany, and it's not really that inflationary. But commodity prices, the heating bills, that's where people are going to feel it, and they also feel it in the food prices. Okay. So my feeling is that this short to medium term decline in bond yields, rise in long dated government bond prices, and the short term bond yields going down, I think that's pretty well run its course, but we don't have any clear evidence that it's gone into reversal. That may coincide with the next good stock market rally. My guess is bonds may actually precede it. In other words, bond yields will start backing up before those equities turn, but we'll see. Charts will show us. What about gold? That's the big one for so many investors. I have mentioned recently that a phase of capitulation selling in stock markets would spill over into gold. Now, I feel quite strongly on that point, and if you want any evidence, as I've said before, just look at what happened in 2008 and early 2009. Precious metals took a beating, although they generally fell less than most other markets. Now, because I don't expect a big, horrendous bear market based on shock news such as we saw in 2008, my worst-case scenario is that we get a small statistical bear market, which most people, a lot of people, you talk about the 20% figure, maybe a fraction more for some of the, a little bit more for some of the more volatile higher beta markets, maybe a little less on Wall Street. Now, against that background, we would see gold might gold possibly show relative strength relative to stock markets, but not be going up in nominal or real terms. And seasonally, as I've mentioned on so many occasions, if gold conforms to its pattern of the last decade, this will be a quiet period here until we get into late August to September, when a genuine, sustainable new uptrending phase actually commences. That's what I'm looking for at this stage. I have also said that there was a possibility that the growing awareness by many people that they really did have to have gold in their portfolios. Some of us, incidentally, as an aside, have had done that for the last 11 years, and are less reluctant, or less willing, rather, less willing to be aggressively in precious metals when they've had such big moves. But bottom line, at Fuller Money, we feel that this secular bull market, which we've been talking about since 2001, is not over. Is not over, and it could have quite a bit of additional potential to the upside. I certainly don't think those $1,200 forecasts and more that some of the American sites are bandying about. And when I see those, I get worried. I think too many people are long and trying to push it up. I'd rather have a little bit of a bearish tone to sentiment, but we don't see that today. We could if we saw gold back a little below $1,500, possibly. But the best time seasonally for precious metals, and I think logically, would be in the fourth quarter of this year, which means starting in September. Now, what else to mention? Crude oil. Well, it's too high. And it makes me cautious about calling for a new floor in stock markets just yet. And that's pretty well all I can say about that. On a short-term basis, the pattern has definitely shown some deterioration overall, but it's looks like medium-term deterioration within an overall upward trend. And we do need to see that medium-term deterioration bring the price of crude lower here. Script that. How might that actually occur? Well, it doesn't occur overnight. I think we need to get a regime change in Libya. In other words, get the Gaddafi family out, and then start bringing the foreign workers back into the oil fields and to repair the damage, and that takes time. So this is a tight supply situation environment, and if I'm and I think I'm pretty cautious in here, but if I've underestimated the risks were crude oil to spike sharply higher, that would be very bad news for the global economy and stock markets, needless to say. And I think we can be quite emphatic about that. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I think it's a slightly better than 50-50 chance that it will not happen, that we will not get that spike. But we need to get lower prices. That would help pave the way, help clear the path for a decent stock market performance in the fourth quarter of the year. Tricky times, folks. I've mentioned this before. I've also said that you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide. This is not a great time for making money in here overall. I wish I had some short positions on, but then I took that holiday in Wales, and I didn't want to hit the shorts when I came back. But that's by the by. If you've got shorts, well done you. Just keep trailing stops in the market here, so that you don't give up too much of the gains overall. And I'm going to watch and wait here, and try not to do too much. It's much easier to lose money in this environment than to get money. Tactically, in terms of overall share positions, I was talking to one of my bright young colleagues on the Stock Cube side earlier today, and he was saying to some of his clients, well, if you want to raise cash, sell the defensive issues. People have been piling into the defensive issues. But his point was that some of the cyclical issues, take mining companies as a classic example, had come low enough now, so they didn't want to be selling those. And he felt that he would rather sell some of the defensive issues, which have been relative outperformers recently, but that's probably a crowded patch overall. It's interesting, and I agree with that comment. In terms of other commodities, get back to the commodities here. The corn price is still very, very strong here. We have had some soybeans are also pretty firm overall. We're not out of the woods here in terms of this very tight environment in terms of supply for, of these agricultural commodities. But the Evelyn Browning Garris forecast is for favorable growing conditions in the summer months. We're now in the summer months. We're certainly getting more rain in England, and I think on, and also on the continent. And what would be very good all around in terms of lowering inflation pressures would be an improvement in crop yields. That would also be extremely good in terms of global tensions. And there's nothing that causes people in developing economies, particularly in the where they have authoritarian governments, nothing that causes them to run into the streets more quickly than an empty belly. So there we are. I think we're going on too far on this in this audio, and I'm going to try to see if I can do some work on the site and get something up, despite all the internet hassle. In the meantime, have a great weekend. All the best.